right, Real Estate Talk Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, our wonderful, gorgeous audience, welcome back to another podcast. As we get into it, we're going to talk a little bit about the new rules that came down about real estate agent commissions. You know, so we might have heard, you might have heard about that in the news, and we're going to kind of have some commentary on it. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome back to the Real Estate Talk Podcast. Rob Kyleman.
Joshua Britt.
All right, guys. So we're going to talk about real estate commissions, like I just mentioned in the intro. So like you might have heard the Sitzer-Burnett versus NAR ruling that was settled. Everybody paid their money and bent the knee, all the major real estate firms. MLS has got involved, and they changed their policies up and how commissions are advertised on the MLS. So to get everybody familiar on the agent side of the equation, so here's a little peek under the dress or behind the curtain and how we did it. So anytime we had like a buyer, we would, you know, look at some properties to send to them. And in the MLS side, our, you know, the agent facing side, you could see the real estate commission that the seller of that particular house was offering to the buyer agent to bring the buyer. Okay, I would think hopefully everybody's following. So what happened was is there was a belief that that could be steering, where agents would see that commission being offered and say, you know what, I don't want to show my client this house or not let them know about it per se because the commission's too low, so I'm going to show them something else. So that's the theory on how it would work. Does it or does not happen in real estate? I mean, could possibly do it. I'm not going to say yes or no, but I can see in both ways where it would be yes and no. So, so right now, as of August, what, 17th?
Yep.
August 17th. So the MLSs are not going to advertise any commissions offered from a seller of that property. Now, it doesn't matter if the seller wants to offer it or not. It still will not be on the MLS. So what real estate agents may have to do in the future, or what they're going to have to do in the future, is either, one, it's going to be the buyer responsibility now. So whoever's buying the house, you are responsible for paying your agent commission, overall responsible. Now, is it possible that you can negotiate it out of the seller to save you some money? That's negotiation. You have no guarantees when you go into a negotiation. You have to just see how it goes. But remember this, you are still on the hook to pay your own buyer agent. So let's get into that discussion and see how that's going to affect long-term home ownership and sales in real estate.
Yeah, so I mean, I think basically a lot of times kind of how buyers ended up with their agents in most cases where they were on some site, Realtor.com or Zillow, Homes.com, who knows, Google, wherever.
Some agent's website.
Yeah, some agent's website. A lot of those initial, you know, meetings, communications happened from a buyer searching for houses on some website.
Yeah, so I had some sort of intent on looking for a house.
Yes. And so then either the websites that they went to, say Zillow, Realtor.com, Homes.com, paired them with some real estate agent and said, hey, contact this person for more information, or hey, this person's going to contact you and show you this house, right? Yeah. Or if you're on Google or Yahoo or some search engine site, you end up potentially on a real estate website that is, you know, owned by a brand, an agent, a team, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then the buyers just worked with that real estate agent. They never had to have a conversation about commissions because it was always a given that the buyer's commission would be paid for by the seller.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's not the case anymore. So technically it's not the case. So as you said, the buyer's agent, the buyer is responsible for their own agent's commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more now than ever, if you are a buyer and you're looking to buy a house, your goal to buy a house shouldn't start with searching for houses. it should start with searching for agents, right? And so if you start your search with searching for agents, well, what are you looking for? You really need to be looking for an agent who has strong negotiation skills.
If your goal is to save money.
If your goal is to save money, or if you want to have the best person represent you, because, you know, saving money is the biggest part of it, but also with repairs and getting things done to the house that may need to be done. For example, if you walk into a house and you really love the location of where this house is, but it's got an old HVAC system, you know, your agent could say something to you like, oh, don't worry, we'll negotiate that in the when we get to the PICRA, yeah, right?
But that's after they already chose their agent, though.
Yeah, after they've already chose their agent, right?
Yeah.
An agent could say, don't worry, we'll get that once we get to the PICRA. But an agent with some strong negotiation skills may say, hey, let's put this up front in the contract, because if we put it up front in the contract, it's already guaranteed that this is going to be taken care of for you. Mm. It's a different element, a different level of having to negotiate, but someone who's a really strong negotiator is not going to shy away from trying to get that taken care of up front. They're not going to want to put that on the back burner, because now, if you put it on the back burner now, the way that the structure is going forward, well, you're already negotiating the purchase price, you're negotiating any concessions, closing costs. The agent is negotiating their own commission. Yeah. And so to add an HVAC system in there on top of it, there's a lot of agents who are going to be like, nah, I'm going to stay away from that. I'll try to get that on the next go around a negotiation.
You know, quit while you're ahead.
Yes, but if you've negotiated all these things, and let's say that the seller, your buyer wants to come down on the purchase price $5,000. Okay, great. You got a $5,000 savings, right? And you need your closing costs. So now your closing costs are covered because they negotiated that. And they negotiated a full commission for themselves. Mm. Well, now when it comes to the back end on that PICRA, the seller may be like, no, I'm not going to do the HVAC. They're going to stand firm and, no, I'm not going to do that. I gave you all these other things that you've asked for. Now, your agent knows already that, hey, I should have probably asked for that up front, but I didn't want to test the waters and put too much on the table. So I pushed it to the back burner.
I mean, excuse me, that's all well and good. But most people, when they choose an agent, they're going to choose an agent based on emotion instead of logic. They're going to go with somebody they like.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to go with. That could be the worst negotiator that ever lived. And it may not even come down to how well they can negotiate, just how well they get along with that person. How much do they trust that person? So that's what I think isn't going to change with the new rules going forward, is people are still going to select others to service them if they like them. Nothing to do with how good they are. Oh. Now, some might now maybe more of the logical thinkers might be thinking about that, and they're really into the numbers and stuff like that. And, you know, how you communicate that value as a negotiator going forward is going to be actually part of your negotiating skills.
Yeah. And so I think there are people, there are agents, there are companies that are banking on the fact that people are going to do business with people that they like. Mm-hmm. But I think that where that becomes a problem is that once they get into negotiations and you realize you have a weak real estate agent who's going to not be able to get your commission paid for, who's going to continue to charge you the full price, and that becomes your burden that you have to pay, I think that a lot of buyers are going to have to quickly reevaluate whether you want to work with somebody you like or somebody who has strong negotiation skills. Mm. I think it becomes, you know, basically when you look at a lawyer, right? If you've allegedly done something wrong, you have the right to go with this free public defender that's being given to you.
Yeah, or the next cheapest
option. Or you can go with the next person who's not free, that they have a cost. Or you want the best, right?
Not everybody can afford the best, so they're going to go what they can afford.
That's right. You can't afford it. But what if said attorney in a lot of your, like, let's say, car accidents, they get paid by how much money they get for you. So if the top lawyer gets paid based off of how much they get for you, I think real estate's going to take that same turn. It's going to be how much can you get for the buyer?
It could be something like that. Or I think it could kind of evolve, kind of like stockbrokers did. Because stockbrokers, to my understanding, now I'm not a stockbroker. I'm not really that familiar with stockbrokers. But to my understanding, they used to have a commission-based structure when they used to service clients. So to my understanding now, it's a fee-based structure. Is that how that goes?
Yes.
Okay.
It's transaction-based. Okay. It's like how many transactions they do for you, there's a fee.
Yeah. So instead of a commission, it's fee-based. So it could come to, like, because that's a service industry. Us being a service industry as real estate agents, we could see a fee-based structure coming to market. We'll just have to see what the market, because real estate's free market, right? It's not controlled by the government or anything like that. It's market-based based on supply and demand, okay? So agent services, same thing, supply and demand, all right? We got a lot of real estate agents that came in during the pandemic, a ton of them. Some of them have gone back to 9-to-5 jobs.
Yep, they've exited.
Some of them are exited. Some are hanging on for dear life. Some are doing it part-time while working another gig, a little side hustle doing hair or something like that. I'm just reading what I've seen in some groups and what I've heard. So it could come down to a fee-based structure, or it can have lower fees for that services based on the supply of agents and the demand of buyers, if we're looking at buyers specifically. So, you can expect the compensation to go down because of supply and demand element. So I think that's going to be in the short term until the career field evens out, gets to a homeostasis level where you have those that really, really, really want to be in it, want to grind it and do it, that'll be there. Could you be working for less? Yes. You might have more competition with people saying, okay, if you're going to be my agent to help me facilitate the transaction of me buying a house, I don't want to pay 3%. I want to pay 2%. So that's up to you to now negotiate that. Is it going to be worth your time? I think that's the big thing as an agent. You know, if I ask myself, will I take a lower fee? I have to ask myself, how much work is involved? You know, if I look at this house, it's in a neighborhood that nobody wants to live in. It's a house, it's a condition that not a lot of people like. And I have to ask what buyers are going to be looking for this house. Okay, is this going to be an easy sell for me if I'm on the listing side? Or is this going to be a hard listing for me? How much money am I going to have to spend on marketing to move this house? Okay, so I have to take all that into consideration about my fee. It might be flat 3%. If it's even harder, I might say 4%. I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
Realistically. I mean.
Because the standard is gone.
The standard's gone. So now you can charge more, you know, and maybe somebody tells me no. Okay, somebody tells me no. They go find somebody else cheaper. So they find somebody else cheaper, you know. Now I have to make that decision. Do I want to lower my fees or do I not? You know, do I have to lower my fees or not? You know, that's the question. Some agents will have to stay in business. I'm in a different situation, so I don't have to close that much to stay doing real estate. But for those that rely on this is their healthcare money. This is their, you know, health insurance money. This is their livelihood, their mortgage money. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they would do in order to do it. But again, I think it's going to be a supply and demand factor. And I think it's going to be a degree of agents where the differentiation from one agent to another can never be more profound. We talked about lawyers, right? So you have lawyers that, you know, are public defender. Everybody writes them off as the bottom of the barrel, you know, if we're thinking about it. And, you know, that might not even be the case. There might be a lot of public defenders.
Yeah, they're doing it because of their passion for it.
Yeah, you know, they might be doing it because they just want to be nice people. Yes. And they're actually good attorneys. They're just doing it that way. But there's going to be maybe this next attorney startup attorney, just got his license, got his business, and maybe he's not charging as high of fees. Mm-hmm. You got a lawyer. Will he be that good or she be that good or not for what your specific need is? I don't, you know, who knows? Who knows? The same thing could be said for an agent. And that's where you might be seeing later on where agents really have to, if they really got good negotiating skills, like I said before, then they're going to be able to communicate why they're worth more than, say, the Payless Shoes agent. Payless Shoes is no longer in business.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about.
I remember. I was growing up during that time.
You want to get some buddies. Or get some buddy service.
Yep.
So, I mean, it could be the thing. So it's going to really come down to agents in general, branding, how you communicate your value, why you're worth this or that. You have to be able to communicate that. You not only have to communicate why, but you have to quantify why you're worth these numbers. So if you can't negotiate for yourself, then okay, well, you're gonna have to take a lower commission or something like that because you have failed to communicate your value. So this comes back down to us. It comes back on us on how we're gonna communicate that value. Now, going forward, it can change a lot about how agents spend money going forward because I don't wanna get too far off, but this is stakeholders in our career field that's going to be affected. So people that provide agents services, such as transaction coordinators or assistants or lead generating services like Zillow, Redfin, Realtor.com, all these different sources of business providing platforms to agents. So how much are agents going to be willing to spend on those people because they cannot calculate an ROI?
Yeah.
So that's going to get interesting. I think we're going to see some mix up there. And some people might listen to this who aren't agents might be saying, I've gotten several calls from realtors and I'm not even interested in buying or selling a house. Well, I'll tell you, as agents, you know, we get those same calls too, even though we're agents. But we also get other calls like, you know, people trying to sell us services to help make our service different. And some of these are very expensive. I mean, it could cost you $10,000 a month for 5 or 6 direct phone calls and maybe 30 email leads.
Yep.
It costs you that much money. There's providers out there that you might have heard of, and you probably have been on their website looking at houses if you ever did. But they will charge that much money. Now, and they'll lock you into like a 6-month arrangement.
Yep.
So how does that going forward? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are not so sure yet. So we'll see as we get into it. What do you think?
I know there's a lot of people who are saying that they think that the buyer's agent role is going to change over time, that it will probably, you know, there are some people who are saying that the buyer agent role may just go away altogether and that people will just go directly to the listing agent.
Yeah.
Now, my thoughts on that are is that would be a very bad idea. I don't think that if you go to the listing agent, you're going to get the best representation.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, it's a big no. Because I'll tell you, let me just say as an agent, if I get a listing from a seller and they trusted me with selling their house and I bring my own buyer in there through open houses, through advertising, through Facebook or Google or whatever the means in which I attracted this buyer, if they come in and they want to put an offer on the house, I am not going to suggest that they offer anything lower than the list, especially if I just got on the market. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say, yeah, knock my client down 10 grand. No, absolutely not. They'd be like, how much should I offer? Well, list price is 500,000. 500,000.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So that is an example of why, as a buyer, you should not just go that route. Now, there are people who are, you know, advocating for it, saying that, hey, you don't have to worry about paying an agent out of your own pocket. Now, you know, there may be people who are in a financial situation where they just physically just they can't. You know, if that seller, if they want that house and that seller is not willing to give a commission, they have no choice but to go that route. You know, and we've talked about this several times where, you know, the goalpost for homeownership is just continuing to be pushed further and further away for some people, especially those in that affordable housing price range, because, you know, throwing in a 3% commission on top of, say, 3% closing costs and a 3.5% down payment on a FHA, you know, that's a 9.5% on 300,000. And we'll use that because it's a round number, easy math. Mm-hmm. That's $28,500 that a buyer has to just say, here, take it.
Not only that, you're going to have, you have to have your home inspection fee because that's not provided to you. So you're going to have anywhere from $300 on the low end up to $500 or $600 on a high end. It just depends on who you hire.
Then takes you to $29,000.
Yep. And then you got, you're going to have your appraisal fee anywhere from $600 to $900. I've seen it in different banks. You're going to have that cash on hand. You're going to have your earnest money deposit cash on hand. So for some states, I've heard from colleagues across the country that some require a percentage of the purchase price as an earnest money deposit.
Yep.
So some of them, it's, you know, whatever, like in our states, Virginia's the wild, wild west in that regard. It could be $500. It could be $100. It could be $1,000. It could be a gold ring if you want it to be, just as long as the seller accepts it. But you're right. It's going to increase the amount of cash on hand that somebody's going to have in order to have agent services. Now they might have to try to go at it themselves. And if you go to an open house, you want to put in an offer. This isn't a car dealership. And like, and that's what I have to stress that to some people who want to go that route. This isn't the car dealership. This is not where you walk into the open house, you look around, and you have your chest in the air, and you're squinting at everything like you're sniffing shit, you know, and then come back and say, all right, the house is $300,000. I'll give you $250,000. What? I'm sorry. I've had to talk to my seller about that, but I can almost guarantee that's going to be a no. And my seller said no right away. All right, well, you know, that's fine. There's plenty of other houses to look at. Yeah, we'll see. And walk out the door. We're not going to chase you to the door. Say, wait, stop. We'll take the $50,000 less. It's not up to us, number one. And if the seller already said no, then it's going to be no. There's no negotiation at that point. You just killed the negotiation by putting in a lowball offer. Now the seller doesn't want to negotiate with you at all. And would rather wait another 30 days, maybe have a moderate price adjustment possibly, and then go forward. You know, but getting back to the commissions part, you know, yeah, I think agents' commissions are going to have to change. And if you don't like the fact that you might be getting less than 3% based on the services you provided because you failed to communicate your value, I'm just put it back on us. I'm just going to put it on us. You failed to communicate your value. And now instead of 3%, you're going to take 2%. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question for those who list houses. You think your sellers are absolutely thrilled when you go up to them and ask them for a price reduction?
No.
No, they're not thrilled. So why should you feel any different if you have to lose money on your commission? Who knows? Since the commissions are negotiable, perhaps, and you know, it doesn't matter what these buyer broker agreements are put in front of you, Mr. Seller. You can change the rules if you want. Had it happen, and guess what? Broker agreed to it. He might say, well, all right, well, if it takes you more than 30 days, you're no longer getting 3%. You know, if it takes you 45, if it takes you 60 days, you're going to get 2.5%. If it takes 90 days, you're going to get 2%. And then you're fired.
Yeah.
So, yes, the rules are going to change. And they can be a little bit more cutthroat. You know, and that's okay. Get ready to play the game because that's the environment we have to change. And we're going to compete against each other to get those limited buyers and sellers out there for clients. Because mortgage applications are down.
Yeah.
People aren't looking like they did. They're tired of this shit. They are all-time high in credit card debt. They have a lot of, you know, cost of groceries are sky high. Everything is really expensive. So there's a lot of people want to get into the market and just add another huge expense to their already growing debt mound. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those are great points that you made. I see a lot of people saying that, you know, this reform that's happened in the real estate industry is going to have some dire consequences. I know there are a lot of, you know, we talk about the younger agents who just got into it in the last few years since the pandemic. But, you know, there's also a lot of the older, more experienced real estate agents that are just fed up. I know on more than one occasion I've had a, you know, an agent 20 plus years tell me that they're just done. They're fed up. They don't want to deal with it anymore. They feel like it was a good system and the system's now been broken. And they don't really see why it was broken. They look at it and they say, hey, you know, yeah, you're moving the commission responsibility over to the buyer, but they feel like it's still going to end up in the same situation where buyer's agent negotiates and attaches it to the listing, and it still ends up being the seller's responsibility to pay it anyways.
I'm not worried about it whatsoever. You want to know why? Because when it's going to come down to it, it's a need-based thing. You know, so if like, for example, and I think I gave this example before we got on air, you can go on YouTube, this wonderful platform that we're on, and you can watch, and by the way, and since we're on YouTube, if you haven't already, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, give us a like, and leave a comment below. Let us know how we're doing. Anyhow, you can go ahead and watch YouTube, how to lay down flooring, LVP flooring, right? You can watch 30 videos at every cut and every technique known to man to get around corners and curves, and you have all the knowledge in your head to do it. But doing it, that is where it comes in. A lot of people, no matter if they know all the steps, it's still that willingness to do it yourself. Do you want to do it yourself? You know, and at the end of the day, you might say, no, I'm willing to pay for it. Well, how much are you willing to pay for it? And at that point, well, what kind of agent you want to hire? You want to hire an agent that's got, you know, some value that they communicated to you, or an agent that you know, it's your cousin or something. Do you know or do you not know their value? You know, I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter really how many you sold sometimes. I think some people will value that. Other people will value how much they like you. What it comes down to is everybody's different. So everybody's going to have that magic pill or that magic button, rather, that'll make them go with one agent over the other. So I don't think much is going to change in that regard. As far as the commission set, it just depends on the average. So if the average agent is doing 2.5% versus 3%, then the average is going to be 2.5% overall. If it goes down to 2%, then it's going to be 2% overall. Then you might have to look into different, you might have to get rid of some services that you'll do and say, okay, if you just want to pay for this, then I will only do X, Y, and Z services. If you want the full service, then it's going to be this amount. I mean, it could be a fee structure. And some people might like an a la carte type of situation and might say, you know, I only need you to do X, Y, and Z. I don't really need you to do anything else. Okay. Then that's going to be your, this is going to be a fee to you. And regardless if we close or not, you're going to pay me.
Yeah. I mean, you're on to something, definitely. And I think probably one of the challenges, though, is, you know, before there's any like major changes that will be seen, I think the hard part is the consumer education of it. Like, you know, our video here that we're creating today, it's going to reach some people, you know, a few thousand or whatever. But, you know, there are millions of people who need to hear this information. Unfortunately, some people won't hear it, and they may elect to try to do the job themselves. They may, you know, go down that same path, the old path of looking on a website and then partnering and having whoever that website is that referred them, represent them. But I think it will be, you know, unfortunately, like most situations, people have to have the horror stories and hear the horror stories before they realize that, hey, there is an issue and that, hey, you really need to put a strong emphasis on making sure that you interview and find the right agent for you.
I mean, it could be like a regular job interview where you're thinking, yes, like, are you the boss? Okay. Well, somebody should probably come in less with a presentation, but more so with a resume. Okay. Okay. This is what I've done. This is my experience overall. This is why I'm good, because I'm a great problem solver. I do this, this, and this. Here's an example of what I did as a problem solver. Okay, well, you know, I'm very expedient. I have my close rate is below 30 days, you know, or something like that. Or I, what's my percentage of list price, what I originally listed at versus what I sold it at? You know, I sell houses for 98% of the time towards list price or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that way you show that, you know, whatever the number I give is the number I typically get. So that way that person interviewing you or that homeowner, they can take all that information and they can make the best decision. Or if they're very analytical, they'll take that, but they might just say, I really like her personality and go with her.
It's possible.
I picked up a client who recently, and I closed on them, and he was a hyper analytical guy. And his wife chose the last two agents before me. And as buyer agents, they should have got them under contract a long time ago. But and they weren't hard to get under contract. I had them under contract in a week. And but anyway, these two agents before that, and I won't, of course, mention any names, but the wife had chosen because they met one at the open house. They met another one through somebody else. And they really liked their dress they were wearing that day. I mean, it really comes down to very odd things that why people will choose to go with one person over the other. So I don't think much will change in the hiring process as much as we think they probably should. But the market will dictate that. What the consumer wants will dictate it in the end. So
very true. So short-term, long-term impacts. I think short term, because the education's not going to be there, it's not going to be able to get out to the masses. Even though television shows, I think CBS, the Good Morning America show aired a episode on it. I think with all that information out there, I think it's going to take a while for it really to take hold and for consumers to really understand that, you know, they are, as a buyer, now on the hook for the commission, one. I think for many people, it will still be somewhat of a shock, a surprise when they finally get into that office and realize, like, oh, I'm about to sign this contract that says that I'm responsible. But the agent is assuring me that they're going to get that taken care of by the seller. I think it will still be a shock for a lot of them. But long term, I think that there's going to be some horror stories. And I think there's going to be some stories of how people are going to go in there. Like, they're going to treat it like it's a car deal. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to get the best price possible for myself. I don't need an agent, right? Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see that go on. I think you're going to see the buyers who are going to go to the listing agent, and that's going to be catastrophic as well for them. Before they realize that there is an important role that the buyer's agent plays in the transaction, especially if you're the buyer. So that's kind of how I see it, short-term, long-term.
Yeah. I think it's all going to also come down to overall affordability as people progress further. Will this economy put them in worse positions to buy homes in the future, or will it not? I mean, there's a lot of sentiment that's very down in the dumps for a lot of young people, especially Gen Z. You know, a lot of them are saying, I'm not even planning for kids in the future because I don't think I can afford it. Yeah. Or I'm not even thinking about buying a house because I can't afford it. I don't see how I'm going to be able to afford it. I'm barely afford to get a one bedroom apartment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the future, that's going to have to be something to be seen. You know, it's just too many unknown factors, but at the end of the day, it's the market that determines everything. It doesn't matter the rules we come up with or something, how we're going to govern ourselves. The market will determine it. So if people pay it, they pay it. If they don't, they don't. It just it comes down to the professionals. What's the bottom dollar? Then where you decide, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm going to do something else, right? And at that point, some will leave and some will stay. And I think the commission, the fee structure would fluctuate over time, to be quite honest. In a seller's market, buyer's agent fees will probably be really low. In a buyer's market, buyer agent fees will probably be really high. And listing agent fees might be really low. Or it may make no change. Yeah. So it just depends on the market.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that hasn't changed, although some people may not think that it hasn't changed, is that everything is negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been negotiable. Some people just felt like they didn't know or they didn't have the option to negotiate it, but it's always been negotiable. It will continue to be negotiable. And I agree. I think the opportunities in the real estate profession, I think for some who are really go-getters, it will continue to expand. I think for those people who aren't necessarily wanting to do as much or hustle as much, I think some of them may end up eventually leaving, going back to get some type of 9-to-5 or starting another career field.
And you know what? That's okay. You know, and if people want to do that, you know, this is a job where it's really got something you love. So if you're just in it for the money, and you don't get any personal satisfaction out of it, then I can see where it's going to become, you know, very dire to be around. But if you love what you're doing, you love meeting new people, you like getting out there and doing things and solving problems, and if you really enjoy that, then the money will come. You know, it always has for me. Every time I've put in a lot of work, somehow great things start happening. Yeah. You know, the less amount of work I put in, the least amount of great things start happening. It's almost like an energy ball, you know, and as long as you could be working 100 leads that day or 200 leads that day, and you didn't get anything from fishing in that spot, but then you have a couple referrals that call you out of nowhere. And it's like, well, how did that happen? And maybe it's just energy in the universe, but
laws of attraction,
I suppose. But as long as you're willing to put the work in, as there's probably a career here, field for you. But if you're just in it for the money now, and you want to make really good money, and you know, and but you don't want to do a lot of work, then that's not the right, you know, job field for you to be in. I would try OnlyFans or something like that, where you don't have to do a lot of work in and you just get a lot of money.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody does it. Teachers and
oh wow. Well,
yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I think that about wraps it up. I think at the end of the day, buyers are going to continue to buy, sellers are going to continue to sell, and the real estate industry will continue on. Just may play by a different set of rules.
Yeah, man. So, let's see what happens in the future. I'm in it. Whatever. See what happens. Guys, if you like this video, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment below. Let me know what you think about this conversation. With that, thanks for watching. See you soon.